This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. So do you find yourself envious of people, feeling jealous about them, feeling envious about them, people around you, people at work? You find yourself feeling this way more often than you'd actually like to admit. If so, you're not alone. I've been there. I think everybody's been there at some point because, you know, seeing things that you want that other people have and you don't sucks, right? It's a reality of life. It doesn't feel good to see that sometimes. Unless, of course, you know how to deal with jealousy and envy appropriately. Because I think it can serve as an indicator and a motivator, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. You know, if you're seeing fancy cars in a neighbor's garage, or you're watching friends excel at a career that you're just floundering in, and that causes some deep-rooted feelings of rage to kind of well up in you, making it hard to find joy in your own life because you're so concerned about that other individual or that group of people or what other people are doing and why you can't do that or why you can't experience similar success, then you're really going to find value in today's episode because we're going to talk about overcoming envy. And this episode, it was actually inspired by a book I just read this past week called The Book of Joy. And the Book of Joy is actually a conversation. It's a conversation between two spiritual leaders. One guy, the Dalai Lama, which you've probably heard of. Another guy is the Archbishop of South Africa. His name's Desmond Tutu. He was appointed as the Archbishop of South Africa by Nelson Mandela. And so it was a conversation, a week-long conversation between these two spiritual leaders who are couple of the world's greatest spiritual leaders that are alive today, at least at this point. And it was written by Douglas Abrams. So he went and he spent time with these guys and he basically recorded the conversation and wrote it and compiled it all into a book called The Book of Joy. And so one particular chapter that really stood out to me was this chapter of envy, dealing with envy. And in the book, they say envy doesn't leave room for joy. And they talk about, you know, where does envy come from? Where the hell does it come from? How does it arise? And if you've ever wondered why we actually tend to feel this way, because oftentimes you probably got a little bit of guilt attached to it, right? If you do feel that way, you know, why do we tend to feel envy towards others in the first place? Well, it turns out our animal brains, they're pretty hardwired for this nonsense. They're hardwired actually for fairness and for equality. And when we don't experience fairness and equality, then we feel jealous, we feel envious, we get angry, we get upset. And, you know, obviously we're not living in a fair and equal world right now. That's no surprise to you if you're listening to this, right? So if you think about even monkeys, animals, they get jealous of one another. There's this old experiment that they describe in the Book of Joy, in which two capuchin monkeys are given a reward for performing a super simple task, like picking up a rock, right, and bringing it back to the researcher. And one monkey gets a cucumber slice every time he performs the task, and he just happily performs this rock-giving task over and over and over again in order to receive this little cucumber slice. He goes, he fetches the rock, and he brings it to the researcher. Researcher gives him a slice of cucumber. And so this happens over and over and over again. Monkey happily does so. He gets his cucumber. He picks up the rock. He brings it to the researcher, gets his cucumber. Picks up the rock, brings it to the researcher, gets his cucumber. But then something interesting happens. Then that same monkey sees another monkey performing the same task. But this time, he notices that this monkey is being rewarded differently. This monkey is being rewarded with not just a slice of cucumber, but with a grape. which capuchin monkeys in their world is perceived as way higher on the scale of awesomeness, right, in terms of tastiness and enjoyability with food. So they really value grapes much more than they do cucumbers. And so, you know, when the monkey sees this, the first one sees this, he's like, whoa, oh man, there's a change of reward here. And so when he sees that his friend is being rewarded with a grape, he starts performing the same usual rock-giving task, but this time he's super enthusiastic about it, right? Because he's expecting to get a juicy grape in return for his efforts. But that's not what happens. The researcher gives this poor bastard another slice of cucumber, right? And the monkey looks at the cucumber just in seeming disbelief. He's pissed. He's got this look on his face that can only be described as like, bro, what the fuck? You giving me this cucumber again? Why did that dude get a grape? What's the deal, man? And so, you know, he shakes the bars of the cage. He becomes visibly angry about the fact that his buddy just a few feet away got grapes and he just gets cucumbers. It's not fair. So he's jealous. He's envious. He's angry, right? And that's just a great example of how we're no different than monkeys oftentimes. Point being, everyone, you know, rightly and justly wants fairness. Everybody wants fairness. But the unfortunate reality is that we just don't have that. We live in an unfair world and this pisses people off. And it brings about feelings of jealousy and envy towards those who we perceive to have an unequal share of the pie, or those who get grapes for doing the same things that we get cucumbers for, right? Is it right that this happens? No. Is this good that it occurs in the world? No. But is it reality? Absolutely. And we can't change the fact that we live in an unfair, unequal world. But what we can change is this. What we can change is the way we allow ourselves to feel about that unfairness, to feel about that envy. And so going back to the book, they really cite some great tips in the book, some strategies for overcoming envy. And we're going to talk about that now. You know, making comparisons again between yourself and others, it's common. If you're jealous or envious about something that somebody else has for what they've got, then it's okay. There's ways to deal with it. It's a reality of life. You can still be fulfilled, you can still be happy without sort of having to feel bad about the fact that you are envious in the first place. So tip number one that they share in the book is that envy only hurts the envious. The first thing to know about this is that envy only hurts you if you feel envious. If you're jealous, if you're envious, that's going to hurt you because it's going to consume your mind, right? It's going to eat you away. It's going to make you feel restless. It's going to get you all pissed off and angry and stressed out. And so what you can do, and this is quite straightforward, is accept the fact that others might just have more than you or be more successful than you and live a happy life anyway. Not only is this important, it's absolutely necessary. They talk about in the book. You know, studies have even shown that upward comparisons leave us feeling absolutely miserable and can actually lead to health disasters like heart attacks and strokes. Let's talk about number two. Number two tip for overcoming envy is to simply feel grateful. Gratitude. You know, according to the Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the co-author of the book, you know, a good remedy for envy is just simply gratitude. Even though it's old school, just be grateful. Count your blessings, you know. Take the time to appreciate the house you already have. And your cousin's mansion that you've been envious and jealous about might not bother you as much, right? To be grateful for what you already have helps you to defeat and overcome the things that you're envious about that you don't already have, that you do not have, that you wish you had. Let's talk about number three, motivation. And this is personally my favorite one, right? You know, they say in the book, certainly with envy, it can also be a spur. It can help you say, you know what? I haven't got a car or a house like that guy. So why don't I aim to try and get something like that? You know, to work hard and use that as inspiration, as motivation to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to work towards that. I want that. I'm not going to feel envious about it. I'm going to give that guy props and I'm going to work hard. Maybe I'll even ask him or her how they did that so I can learn how to do it too. That's beautiful. That's turning your envy and jealousy into motivation, inspiration to spur yourself on to greater levels of success so you can attain those things too if you want. Again, it's not about external goals. The Archbishop and the Dalai Lama say in the book, you know, these external goals, if you're trying to get your ambition, motivation going for things like cars and houses and all that stuff, then those goals are not going to bring you the joy or lasting happiness that you really are seeking in life. But the motivation to improve our situation, that's a hell of a lot better than being envious of somebody else's, right? And so that's number three. Motivation number four is to reframe. So another suggestion for coping with envy given by the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu is to reframe or rephrase that envy, right? Reframing, that's powerful because it puts your envy into context. You know, do you really want to live in a house with seven bedrooms like your cousin? Right? The one that you're feeling envious for, the one that you're feeling envious about, the amount of cleaning, the amount of upkeep might make you feel more miserable in the long run than where you are right now. So by remembering that envy is a natural, though toxic aspect of life, you can always figure out how to, hey, reframe this. You can learn to tame it, keep yourself and, you know, those around you happier. So reframe oftentimes, reframe your envy, because sometimes it's not really as great as you might think it is. You get all caught up in what you don't have and what that other person does, and you forget to think about, hey, you know, is that really as great as I think it is? Maybe not. And so finally, let's talk about this thing that the Dalai Lama calls mudita. Mudita. And mudita is actually a Tibetan word. And it's a Buddhist concept, really, a mindset, which is often translated as sympathetic joy and is described as the antidote to envy. Mudita is so important, they say in the book, in Buddhism, that it's considered one of the four immeasurables, those qualities that we can cultivate infinitely and constantly grow within. The other three, by the way, are loving kindness, compassion, and equanimity. And so here's how mudita works. Right. So if somebody has something that we want, say a bigger house, we can consciously take joy in their good fortune by telling ourselves, hey, good for him. You know, just like me, he too wants to be happy. He too wants to be successful. He too wants to support his family, his kids, all that stuff. May he be happy. Good for him. Props to him. I congratulate him. Want him to have more success. Right. So that's what mudita is. It's giving someone, you know, sending them joy, giving them props, congratulating them genuinely, not pretending on the outside and then eating your heart out on the inside, but genuine congratulations, congratulatoriness towards other people's success and their happiness. So what it really recognizes is that life is, it's not a zero-sum game. You could also call it an abundance mindset, right? You know, that there's not just one slice of cake in which someone else is taking more and you're not getting as much because they're taking more. It sees joy as limitless, right? And so, again, the way that this mudita works is if you can take one big thing away from this, it's to adopt this mindset. Because if you adopt this mindset, oftentimes all the other dominoes will fall right into place. And that is to genuinely feel joy for other people's success. Genuinely feel it. Not get pissed off about it. Right. And so, again, add this mudita to your life. So, again, it's the Tibetan way of expressing joy for others when they achieve something great or attain something desirable, even if you haven't experienced similar blessings for yourself. It's a mentality that understands that blessings for one person are actually blessings for everybody, because the happiness of one person brings everybody up. So congratulate others when they succeed. Use their success as inspiration if you want that too. Okay. And the final piece that I'd like to leave you with here from the book, which I find so incredibly interesting, is about how being envious takes up so much energy. It prevents us from relaxing. As the Dalai Lama talks about in the book, he says, you know, doctors, they've always advised us to relax. But to relax means calm mind, not too much agitation, which will destroy your relaxation. Also, too much attachment will destroy your peace of mind. You can have a nice house with a nice bedroom and a nice bath and play relaxing music, he says, but if you are full of anger, full of jealousy, full of attachment, you'll never be able to relax. In contrast, You may be sitting on a rock with nothing, but if your mind is completely peaceful, then you can be relaxed. Love that. So again, to overcome envy, just a few strategies from this book, from the Book of Joy, are, quick recap, remember that envy only hurts you if you feel it. Number two, to overcome envy, cultivate more gratitude for the things you already have. Number three, use others that you're jealous and envious of as motivation, as inspiration to spur yourself on to achieve that same thing. Number four, use reframing, right? Rephrase what you're envious about and really think about whether that's going to benefit you if you do have it, right? What will it bring you? Why do I want to have that, right? What will it bring me? And number five, put some mudita into your life. Bring some mudita into your life. Adopt an abundance mindset. Understand that there's enough for everybody. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful when somebody else succeeds. It's beautiful to hear somebody else talk about success because that will help bring ideas into your mind as well. So be happy for them. Congratulate them. Don't hate, congratulate, right? So if you want to get the full book summary on this book, The Book of Joy, of course, you can pick that up over at getflashbooks.com. We've got the full summary available for you. If you haven't already signed up, please do. I don't know what you're waiting for. And until next time, go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.